After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest fields. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter the house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will ruin you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and you are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town, they are not welcomed. Go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet, sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day that for Sodom than for that town."
Thank you so much on the irony that. So I have my own. Look, I'm echoing already. Thank you. Very much appreciate you saying that, because it means less words I have to say tonight. So tonight is our last sermon series on mission. We've done a lot in the last 3 weeks. What can you tell me about mission? Anything?
Lots of stuff involved.
Like what?
The Apollo
thing. Apollo Bay.
I was like, Apollo? It's like I went biblical just then. Apollo Bay beach mission. Yeah, so there's different types of mission. What else have we learned?
Lots of planning.
Takes commitment. 100% takes commitment. So tonight we're going to be looking more at mission for our last week of Mission I'm Possible. I love mission. It's probably like my favorite thing to talk about. And actually tonight's sermon, I would really like it if I had a 6 week sermon series to preach it in. So I'm trying to compress a lot of ideas into a very short sermon. It might be a long one tonight. Get ready. We've got 2 hours, right? For me to get all my ideas and my passion about mission across. But first, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here and your presence is in this place. Lord, help us to see how you're moving in our lives, and help us to see how we can be equipped to love others, to show mercy, to walk humbly with you, God. Help us to see how we can be those workers, that we can be sent out. Help us to know that you have called each one of us to do your will. Your name. Amen. So, tonight, so we have learnt over the last few weeks a lot about mission, including things like beach mission. So, in my life, I've done quite a bit of mission work. I have done an urban mission internship with the Salvation Army. I've done an overseas mission trip to Indonesia. I have done beach mission for many years. I've held people's hair back while vomiting at Red Frogs. And all of these are organized mission. And I've done lots of them, and I do lots of them because they're good things. But if we just keep mission to a week, I think we've missed the purpose of God calling us to a mission field. And I think that if we just go, oh, between December 27th and January 6th, I do beach mission, tick, beach mission is done, I've done my mission for the year, we're actually missing the point of God and what he's calling us to do. Mission shouldn't just be a part of our life, but it should be our whole life. So looking at this passage in Luke, which Lockie read for us, that's going to be nice and confusing, Luke and Lockie, I've summarised some key points to making mission part of everyday life, and not just for a good week away. So my first one is mission shouldn't be done alone. Jesus sends out people with their friends. He's so nice. He doesn't go by yourself. No, he says go two by two. He says go with people because he knows that mission can't be done alone. Now, I get to do mission with my husband, which is a beautiful, brilliant thing, but not all of you are married, and that's okay. I also get to do mission with people like Lauren, people like Ben, people like Mia and Alan. These people are people that pray with me. They're people who support me at different times in my life. And so I'm really lucky that I get to have people around me to do my mission work. And I want you to find someone to do mission with because it shouldn't be done alone. My second point is that mission is being vulnerable. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Now, initially whenever I read this passage, you kind of read it and you're like, oh, Jesus is sending us into the big, bad, scary world. They're all wolves. But actually, I was chatting to some smart people the other day about this passage. And when I say smart, they're like reverend doctors, so they're very smart. And we came up with this conclusion that maybe it's actually about the state of being the lamb, not about the fact that everyone else is wolves. And maybe the state of being a lamb is the fact that we need to be vulnerable. Because it then goes on to say, do not take your purse or bag or sandals. If you're going somewhere, we're on a road and we're going for a journey, and I don't have anything with me, at some point I'm going to have to ask for help. At some point I'm going to have to knock on Lauren's door and go, Lauren, I need food. Give it to me. At some point, I'm going to have to realize that I can't do this myself. When you're vulnerable, you get rid of your agenda and your attitude changes. Matthew 28, 19 to 20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. In this passage, we often make it out that the reason we do mission is to convert people. But when we have that mindset, people become projects, not people. In need of genuine love. In this passage, looking at the Greek, it is actually, this is me being like nerdy, and I can give you a website which is way more nerdy than I could give you in a sermon. It's actually translated better. This verse is translated better as, therefore, as you are going about your life, disciple. Doesn't say where to go. It implies that as you're going along with your life, as you're going out for dinner, heading to the snow, going to church, wherever you're with people, disciple. And you're all like, but Laura, you're speaking on mission. Why are you speaking about discipleship? Because they go hand in hand. The term disciple is to follow a leader. In fact, in Jesus' day, if you were discipled by someone, there's often talk about dust off people's sandals, and it's in this passage as well, you shake off the dust. When you're following so close behind someone who's walking on a dirty, dusty road like we are in Jesus' time, not like we are in Australian 21st century, when you walk, if you're walking close enough, the dust of your feet will hit the person behind you. That's how close we should be walking to Jesus. And that's how people learn to follow him, is if they're following, if they can see that we're doing that. Then when we're discipling others, they're going to feel that dirt of Jesus or the love of Jesus. John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. If we are living a life following Jesus, others are going to notice and they are going to see Christ through your actions, and therefore you're achieving your goal of loving people. Being vulnerable, it's not about you and your success. It's about getting to know others in a relational way. Mission is not what you do, but it's who you are. It's not a short-term thing. It's a lifelong thing. This is one of my favourite points of this sermon, if I'm allowed to have favourite points of my own sermon. Mission is not about just going away for a week. Again, they are really good things to do. It's great to get involved. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't. But it's actually every day. Luke says to stay at one house instead of going house to house. That's so against everything we think of. The more people we get converted, the better. The better for our churches. The better for our community. The better for us, because we can tick the box and we'll go to heaven. Now I'm coming all penty. Ooh, that was weird. But if you stay at someone's house, you build relationship. And in this Luke passage, it talks about how you actually heal people. Mission is healing people. Not just necessarily physically, but spiritually and emotionally. If I'm going to walk alongside someone, it takes time. I'm going to pick on you, Lauren, because you're right in my eye. Like, if Lauren's having a bad time, I don't just come up to you, oh, Jesus loves you. Done my mission for the day. No, I walk beside her. I listen to her. I agree with her. I play devil's advocate with her. I help her see the world in a different way. It takes time. Josh and I chose quite intentionally about the fact that we would live in an apartment block. We prayed a lot about where we would live, and it was a very intentional choice. And the reason that we decided to live in an apartment block was because there's a lot of people to love in an apartment block. There's walls, but there's no gates between us. We're all there. We're all one. And a little while ago, we'd come home. I was actually busting to go to the toilet. It's probably the key part of this story. We saw that two of our neighbours were working in the shed. One of our neighbours, Simon, he's making a bus into a house. And one of the other neighbours, Mike, he was helping Simon with doing something tool-y. And Josh is like, that's his element. So he was like, let's go say hi. And I was like, I really need a pee. But we went and we said hi. And we started having a conversation, and I'd never met Simon before this moment. Josh had met him once before, but we had plenty of conversations with Mike. Mike lives next to us. And we were just chatting, and we were there for like 45 minutes, and I was like, I really need to go to the toilet. But in the course of this conversation, Simon goes to us, you two are Christians, aren't you? And we awkwardly laughed and said yes. And why was it so awkward? We'd never mentioned Jesus. I hadn't even met this guy before, and Josh had only met him briefly once before. And I said, how did you know? And he said, because Josh offered to go the extra mile. You invited us over for a dinner, and I didn't know your name. And you just have that thing about you. Was his three things. And I said, yes, yes, we are Christians. If you want to know more about Jesus, we're in number one. Come say hi. And we continue to have a great relationship with all of our neighbours. But people are people in need of loving, not projects. I didn't set out that day to go, all right, neighbours are in the shed, let's tell them all about Jesus. No, I set out to say hi and to love them. Some of you are aware of our fun neighbour situation as well. If you're not, We live in number one of our apartment block. Number three, we had a nice drug addict. And life became quite turmoil for us. It was when Liz was living with us. And he would party all night, every night, with a lot of friends. Every 10 minutes, they'd be knocking on the door all night, every night, for another drug exchange. He also had two small kids that we had grown to love and enjoy their company. They'd drawn us pictures. We'd given them things. And this situation, it was terrible. Like, we had to call the police every night. It was a terrible situation. But every day, we'd call the police in the middle of the night because we needed safety and things like that. But then we'd see him during the day and we'd be like, hey, how you going today? We didn't hold it against him. We just said, hey, rough night last night, hey? I saw you get arrested. Well, I didn't say that. I just thought that. How are your kids going? How's your relationship going there? Who are these people in your house? Let me get to know you. Yeah, I really wanted to tell him about Jesus so many times. He probably would have punched me in the face. But I could say, hey, how's your date going? because people are projects, are not projects, they're people. People are not projects. I was actually thinking, this is not in my notes, I used to have this people are projects mentality, and there's this guy, what's his name, can't think. We're going to call him Peter for now, and Peter randomly invited me to a beach mission, which I rejected him about, and then went to another one in the same year. But Peter wasn't really following Christ at the time, and I went, well, maybe if I get to know Peter, he can become a Jesus follower again. That was the whole purpose of my friendship with this guy. I did not like him at all. We met while I was in a wrestling suit and he was in a wombat suit, so we were doing really well in life. And Peter and I would go out and I'd be like, Jesus! Every time he mentioned anything. Be like, let's go back to Jesus. Oh, your mum died? Jesus! And he didn't need that at the time. And one day I was walking past our missions pastor at my old church and I was like, Aaron, Peter's going to become a Christian soon. And from that day on, Peter's never spoken to me because he realized that day that I just saw him as a project, not as a person to love. I've stuffed up a lot. I've learnt a lot. People need loving. In serving God, our aim is not to see people as projects that need converting, but as neighbors who need loving. Our aim is to humbly embody God's love through peacemaking, prayer, and placemaking. We show kindness and mercy, and we engage in justice. We are a friend to people. Friendship and service are the aims, not conversion. If people ask you what we believe and why we care, we openly tell them the reason for our hope and faith. Once you love people, people will ask you about Jesus. And you can go on that journey, and 100% I'm not saying you shouldn't ever go on that journey. You need to go on that journey. But people need loving, not converting first. While there are times that Jesus will ask you to step out of your comfort zone, generally he will empower you to do what you love to be your mission. 1 Peter 4:10 states, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you love Jesus, you carry God's kingdom. Again, in this Luke passage, it says this, if you go to a house and it promotes peace, you're bringing God's kingdom. If you go to a place and it hates you, you're still bringing God's kingdom. They're just choosing not to walk in that identity with you. It doesn't matter what you do. If you're connected to the Father and are trying to show his love, you're carrying God's kingdom. You're bringing heaven to earth. Whether the people you are with choose to walk in their identity as children of God or not, you are bringing God's kingdom. Therefore, every day as I teach children, if you don't know, I'm a teacher. Some of the schools I've worked at has been Catholic, some of Christian, some are state schools. Doesn't matter what classroom I walk in. I'm there to show the love of Christ that day. If I'm in a state school, I can't say that, but I can show it. I can have those kids feel that love. People like Matt, he works with IT. How can he make his computer more lovey Jesus-like? I don't know. He's not in the room. Where is he? Oh, good. He is in the room. He can hear me talk about him. But he can show love to the people he works with, you know. It doesn't just have to be who you work to. Like, I work with children. You all have colleagues. You all have friends at school. You all have people that need love. You might have family that need love. This isn't in my sermon. My dad's not a Christian. For a long time, he's been my project. But he needs love. I hate when Jesus speaks to me when I'm preaching. All right. Hey, Josh, can you get me a glass of water? Thanks. So, I'm just going to put myself together for a moment. Ikigai. It's not IKEA, it's Ikigai. It's a fun Japanese word. I'm going to get Jesse to put it up for me. A nice slide. Thank you. So this is a Japanese word that means the reason for being or reason for being alive. It is the place where you are the most alive. And some smart person put this in a diagram for us. So this came from a Japanese study where they were like, Japanese people, the most happiest people on earth. Why so? And this is what they said. So we have, in the middle, we have Ikigai. I should have got the laser pointer. And then we have vocation, profession, passion, and mission. And when you are able to put all these things together, you have that place where you are most together. What the world needs, what you love, what you are good at, and what you can be paid for. Now tonight, we're not going to look at all four of these things, although I do challenge you to search this up, just with that middle word there, Ikigai, and put it as your background picture on your phone this week, so you think about these other circles. Give me a moment. So tonight we're going to look at mission. Once a teacher, always a teacher. So, on the sides of your pews, there's paper and pens. If this person on this side can get it, and then pass it down the aisles, and there's some in the back as well. So if your mission is not what you do, alright, so if your mission is not what you do, but it's who you are, and who you are needs to show love to others, remembering people are not projects, if all of that encompasses mission, I haven't got like a nice sentence for you, I've got three. Write down some of the things you love. They might be working with your hands, might be communicating, they might be graphic designing, looking at you, Mitch. They might be hanging out with some children. They might be nursing, looking after disabled people. All these different things. What do you love? What brings you the most alive in your life? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to write down those things. Think about everything. Maybe you love computer games. Write it down. Jesus uses all of us. Maybe you love to bake. Recently, I baked chocolate chip cookies for everyone in our apartment block just because. It was a fun time. They were like, oh, okay, thanks. Great. Took me 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Once you finish writing what you love, think about what the world needs. What are some of those things the world needs? That might have something to do with what you love. There's a girl, I was recently at a conference and she has a disabled daughter. And she loved her disabled daughter. And she loved all of her disabled daughter's disabled friends. She knew that she loved disabled people. She could see their gifts, their abilities. What she saw the world needing was a sense that people with disabilities often don't get a chance to get a job in mainstream job employment opportunities. So she combined what she loves, people with disabilities, with this sense that the world needs a place, people with disabilities to get a job. And from that, she's created an organization called Orca. That's her mission field. That's her Ikigai, because she's been able to bring all of those things in. She gets paid for it and things like that. But what is it that this world needs that you can give based on what you love? Now, this is not necessarily easy. For me, it is quite an easy thing. I love children and the world needs teachers. Great. Life's easy. What? Oh, sorry, Jacob. 1 + 1 = 2 in my life. It's nice and easy. But you might have a bit more disjointness between what you love and what this world needs. And I'm not naive to think that 5 minutes in a sermon on a Sunday night is going to answer your life goals or work out what your mission is for your life. And I'm also not saying that something you might come up with tonight is something you're going to do forever. Your mission changes based on seasons that you're in. Sometimes. It doesn't always. And that's okay. God uses you where you're at. If you're at school right now, you have the best mission field that you're ever going to have. You know people. You have friends in that place, and they are stuck with you 8 hours a day for years. Years. In year 12, again, I was in my probably project rather than people-loving stage of life, but 12 of my friends became Christians, and most of them still are, because I used that opportunity, because I was challenged in this. Not because I'm good, but because I could see where God was working and I was obedient. God will show you where he's at work. You're joining in with what God's doing. Good job, Chloe. Well done. She's found her mission to pull up everything. If you're not sure, ask Jesus. I can guarantee you that God will show you how he wants you to disciple those in the space he already has you. And if he calls you elsewhere to be a missionary or to serve as part of a mission trip, do that, because that is only going to support furthering the kingdom and his work. Luke 10 says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is still true today. There are a lot of people in Australia that needs Jesus. So much so that Asian countries, where we have previously sent missionaries, are now sending missionaries to us. There are more Chinese missionaries in Australia than there are Australian missionaries in China. Ironic, right? China, a place where if you mention the word of God, you burn. Ask God where he's at work. Your mission is just joining in with what God's already doing. He's not asking you to come up with a new activity or a new design. He's asking you to see people as people, not projects. He's asking you to see that we need love. And it's not what you do, it's who you are. There was this girl, I'm going to call her Anne. One day I sat next to her at uni, and I used to be very deliberate about praying about where I'd sit next to people at uni. And I sat next to her, and she stunk of smoke. And I'm not good with that smell. I like get all hay fevery and gross. And I instantly regretted my choice. I did not want to sit next to her. I was like, why am I in a two-hour shoot? And did I say I'm calling her Anne for the purpose of the story?
Yep.
Great. Anne. So I was sitting next to Anne and having this conversation, and she was goth-like and she was swearing every second word. We were in a Catholic class, so the irony was quite high. And afterwards she just said, "Laura, can we go out for coffee?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay." By this point she wasn't smelling so much of smoke, so I was obviously in a good mind frame. And I said, "Yep, we can go out for coffee." And the following week I went out for coffee with her. We went to Melbourne Central. There, right in the midst of a packed Melbourne Central food court, she told me that her father had abused her. She told me her father was currently in jail for other things. No one knew about her abuse, but because of these other things, he was away from her. She told me about how her mother was having a mental breakdown. She told me about how she was caring for her three younger siblings. She also told me she never told anyone these things before. I'd known her for a week. I didn't do anything special. I just loved her. By this point, I'd gotten out of my project's mindset. And I chose to love her. And we journeyed together for a little while, and we would go out, and we had classes together once a week, and we'd I'd help her with her homework So once she worked out I was a Christian, she also worked out I was a great person to know in her Catholic class. But I actually didn't bring up Jesus. I didn't bring it up at all, but she did. She said, "Why do I feel so safe around you? Is it because of that Jesus thing?" And we're on a journey together. She's not a Christian. She hasn't prayed a sinner's prayer yet. But we're on a journey. God's at work in her life. And I believe that God put me there for a reason, because that was my mission, is to see her as a person to love. Remember, mission shouldn't be done alone. Mission is being vulnerable. And by vulnerable, it's about doing things that you don't normally do. You know, it's really easy to sit with the same people at school, or sit with the same people at the lunch work table, or to talk to the same people after church. Do you know why Jesus said, don't talk to people on the road? Because they're the people that knew. It's like walking along, hey Lauren, you're a great friend. Hey Lockie, hey Ben. And I'm missing the point. I'm missing where Jesus is calling me to. Talk to different people. Step outside of your comfort zone. I'm sorry, Chloe. Mission is doing things you wouldn't normally do. Mission is stepping out. It's finding that space. It's talking to that person that normally sits alone. It's sending a message to someone just because they're on your mind. It's asking the question, how are you, and wanting an authentic answer. And when you get good, you press on. You say, actually, how are you? It's being there for people. Mission isn't a short-term thing. It's a life thing. And if you love Jesus, you're carrying God's kingdom, and God's kingdom is at work. If you love Jesus, you have been appointed. There are people in your circle of influence that need Jesus, and he's put you there for a reason. And I can guarantee you that the Holy Spirit is already at work with those people. So my challenge for you this week, how are you going to be missional every day? How are you going to use the situation God has put you in? Are you seeing people as people or as projects? How are you showing love to strangers? How are you connecting with your neighbours? How are you spending your downtime, your weekend, your holidays? Sometimes they're a really great time to go on those beach missions. Go do Red Frogs. Go help out a working bee at Wonga Road. Why? Because that can kickstart your wanting to serve God. But that's not ticking the box and saying, mission is done. It's saying, hey, now I can do that. I feel empowered. Who are you going to spend time with at work or at school or in your circle this week that you normally wouldn't give the time of day to? I want you to try and think of a name right now as I pray to close this sermon. And I want that to be your challenge, to go disciple. See people as people, not as projects. Live a missional life. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that you allow us the opportunity to love people. And in doing so, they see you and they see your love for them. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be missional people in our everyday life. Lord God, help us to bring to mind that person that you want us to talk to this week. You want us to say, hey, how are you going, really? Or that person that always sits alone. Allow us the strength and the courage to go up and say, hey, do you want to come and join our group for lunch today? Lord, I just ask that you bring those people to our minds right now. Lord, mission is a challenge, but with you, it's not too difficult. Help us to listen to your small, still small voice in everything that we do. We can be vulnerable. Because when we listen to you, God, we are more likely to do your will. Help us not to live in the habits of what we're doing, where it's really easy to just be a habitual creature and do what we always do, whether you're at work or not. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to do this alone, that we have your strength, but we also have each other. Help us to reach out and ask for prayer and to ask for support. Help us to have the courage to be missional. In your name I pray. Amen.